I want to remind everybody that Amy and I do not profess to be doctors, nor do we offer medical advice. To the contrary, what we're doing is sharing information with you that we have culled from literally thousands of pages of books, magazines, and medical journals. We are sharing with you perhaps cutting-edge information and compiling it in a way that it has not been compiled before. But nonetheless, we are doing nothing more than sharing with you the best information we could find from reliable sources. And we believe that this is the type of knowledge that needs to be disseminated. This is the type of information that is not getting into the headlines. This is the information that is not being taught in schools. This is the information that is hidden from most people. Yet the knowledge is out there. And if you seek it, and we have, and you use it, it could become a powerful tool in your life. And Amy and I believe something, that if you have power, you should share it. Most people don't like to give power away, but when the power is knowledge, giving it away is the very best thing that you could do. That having been said, tonight's subject is osteoporosis, a condition that affects very, very many people in Western society. It is quite rare in other societies, what you might call undeveloped societies or third world countries. It is quite common, however, in developed countries or westernized culture. That having been said, there are many reasons that we have found that are the root cause of osteoporosis, and we believe that finding the root cause and addressing it is far better than symptom suppression, which seems to be the most common and favorite choice of allopathic or what we call Western medicine. And so tonight, Amy and I have gathered some information. We are going to try to share it to you in a fairly organized and straightforward fashion, and then we will make it available to you in the form of our osteoporosis battle plan that could be downloaded for free on the internet, or you could give us a call, we could fax it, email it to you, or even put it in an envelope and make sure that you're able to access this information in a very easy to understand format. That having been said, Amy, if you'd be so kind as to put us into moderator mode, and we will go ahead and get into tonight's subject matter.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Dave. I'd like to officially welcome everyone to our Wednesday Consumer Education Conference call. My name is Amy. I'll be the moderator tonight, and then we're very lucky to have with us David Sandoval, who's the author of the Green Foods Bible. I hope everyone has picked up a copy of that, either ordered it from us or you can order it at Amazon, and it's just a really great, great source of information. So thank you, Dave, for being on with us and sharing with us on these Wednesday Consumer Education Conference calls.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here. For those of you who don't know, between Amy and I, we do bring, you know, close to 40 years of experience in the nutrition industry, and we hope that what we have learned over the years, combined with, as we said, the research that we conduct, that we'll be able to help you deal with these various challenges that you will face. So, Amy, where would you like to start?
Well, let's jump right in. As you mentioned earlier, the subject of tonight's call is osteoporosis, and it's something that affects way more people than most of us would probably think. So why don't we just start with straight out, what is the official definition of osteoporosis? What is it?
Well, osteoporosis is a gradual reduction in normal bone mineral density. It's a natural reduction in normal bone mineral mass and strength. In other words, your bones simply are not as strong, they're not as dense, and they're not as big around. And that results in what is called bone thinning and an increased vulnerability to fractures. We often hear, for example, of people getting hip fractures. Now, the hip is a pretty thick bone. So you could imagine it must have gotten very thin and weak in order to fracture from a simple fall to the ground. Well, women are at a much greater risk since their peak bone mass is naturally less than that of men. Now, that isn't always the case. Some men do have thinner and smaller bodies. However, traditionally, we have seen that women suffer disproportionately from the condition known as osteoporosis. The fact that men tend to do more exercise in their workplace, for example, could lead to greater muscle mass, and the increased muscle mass is a reduced risk factor for osteoporosis. Now, premenopausal decreases in progesterone and a postmenopausal drop in estrogen are also contributors to the greater risk of osteoporosis among women. Osteoporosis is uncommon in men who typically do not experience bone loss until after the age of 70. And so unless the man lives to be 90 or 100, the osteoporosis will not progress to a point where it is very severe. The bone loss is usually greatest in the spine, in the hips, and in the ribs, which are most susceptible to pain, deformity, and fracture. But it must be noted that it usually starts higher in the body and works its way down. Now, the most catastrophic of hip fractures, which typically lead to a rapid loss of muscle because of your immobility, as well as a corresponding lack of bone, because muscle mass is, as we said, directly correlated to bone mass. And when you lose your muscle, you lose your endurance, your strength, and even your appetite, because without muscle calling for energy, your body loses its need to eat. And this ultimately leads to a withering away and death in 12 to 20% of cases, and long-term nursing care home for 50% of those who survive this hip fracture. So osteoporosis is, I didn't mean to go into the facts and figures, I apologize, but osteoporosis is a condition whose ultimate result is really quite tragic. But the good news is, Amy, it develops over a very long period of time before it gets to that tragic end, and it can be interrupted. So, Amy, why don't you sort of lead us down some of the causes of osteoporosis?
Sure, and I just wanted to say it sounds like when you're just talking about the hip fracture that it's just a very vicious cycle, because I think we probably, everyone on the call has either had a grandparent or maybe an aging parent or just friend of the family that has suffered a hip fracture. I know there's mm-hmm. been probably 4 women in my family that
wow.
I know of that have had hip fractures, and it is just a vicious cycle. They get a hip fracture, and if they're elderly, it's very, very hard to come back from that. So this is something that you want to pay great attention to when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. Don't just wait till you're 65 or 70 to start thinking about this. And even as parents, we can start thinking about this for our young, for our daughters and for our children. So this isn't just an elderly person's problem that we're talking about here tonight.
Exactly.
But let's talk about some of the causes of osteoporosis, and one of them is, like as Dave mentioned before, an estrogen deficiency. This seems to be the leading cause of osteoporosis in the menopausal female. And so some women hit menopause in their mid-40s or late 40s, and so we're talking about a big segment of the population that are at risk. And when estrogen levels drop during the years around menopause, the cells that remove the dead portions of the demineralized bone become more sensitive to hormone signals that increase their activity. So anyone in the premenopausal or is in menopause or postmenopausal, you've really got something to be concerned about.
Exactly. And one of the other, you know, things that isn't related to estrogen or hormone is pH. Any time we're showing that it's imbalances in the body. Now, inadequate stomach acid is one cause. Stomach acid is essential in order for calcium to be absorbed in the intestines. And an estimated 40% of postmenopausal women are severely deficient in stomach acid.
And that's a vicious cycle, too, I think, because with all the antacids and all these things that are out there. You know, we have a little heartburn. We take this over-the-counter pill, and if you keep suppressing that acid, you're actually maybe contributing to osteoporosis. Is that correct, or did I just kind of...
That is correct. And in addition to that, if you use all of your stomach acid to, say, digest meat, you know, then there's none left over to do some of the other, you know, some of the other things. And the overconsumption of meat leads to over acidity in another way. And so stomach acids and proper pH, those are not necessarily, you know, unrelated. And so if you're unable to digest food properly, then additional acids that are unhealthy acids like uric acid and lactic acid actually build up in your body. So definitely pH imbalances are greatly responsible and contributory factors in osteoporosis.
Well, another causative factor is the inability to convert vitamin D to its most active form. And in its most active form, vitamin D stimulates the absorption of calcium within the body. Kidney or liver problems and or deficiencies in estrogen, as we talked about before, magnesium, boron, and sunlight will inhibit the conversion of vitamin D into its most active form. So if you're a dairy drinker, you can drink all that vitamin D milk you want, but if you don't have the proper mineral balance and if you never expose your skin to the sun, you still won't convert that vitamin D into its most active form, which is what you need to absorb and process the calcium within your body.
Exactly. So in other words, if you don't have the proper amount of estrogen, if you don't have the proper amount of magnesium, if you don't have the proper amount of boron, if you don't have adequate sunlight, and I want to add that that potassium and silica are also integral to help your body and use the vitamin D for the purpose of building stronger bones. Now, inappropriate lifestyles and dietary practices like the overconsumption of alcohol, coffee, and smoking all cause an increase in the rate of urinary and fecal calcium excretion. In other words, When you are eating foods that are contributing to over-acidity, then it causes the release of calcium from your body. Now, immobilization doubles this rate. So in other words, if you are not active, if you're eating poorly and not exercising, then the rate of calcium excretion literally doubles. Now, a typical American diet high in processed foods, carbonated soft drinks, caffeine, and high protein, sugar, and salt consumption is absolutely the most contributing factor to all non-estrogen-related osteoporosis problems. And that's just one of the important facts you should know. But, you know, this affects so many people. Amy, why don't you do me a favor and just run them down some of the scary type of things that we found out about this condition?
Well, osteoporosis affects an estimated 20 million people in the United States, and unfortunately, the United States has the highest incidence of osteoporotic fractures in the world.
Those hip fractures you were talking about earlier.
Exactly. Osteoporosis is responsible for at least 1.5 million fractures a year, including 250,000 hip fractures, which those were the really nasty ones that we talked about earlier. Also, nearly one-third of all women and one-sixth of all men will have a hip fracture in their lifetime. So that's pretty scary information that...
Wow,
one in three. So with that kind of statistic, like I said earlier, I'm sure everyone on this call knows someone, whether it's a friend or family member, that's elderly that's had a hip fracture. Also, in one study, individuals who drank more than 3 cups of coffee a day increased their risk of osteoporosis by 82%. And I'm going to hypothesize that that's about the acid probably in that acidified the blood. And we used to work trade shows all the time, and we used to talk about it, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, about people that these teenage girls that are that were drinking sodas, like maybe instead of drinking water, they drink soda all the time. And there was this epidemic happening in the 90s with teenage girls having osteoporosis. But with the Starbucks revolution and all the teenage girls or all the teenagers, period, running to Starbucks and, you know, and having their frappuccinos and their espresso shots every day, now it's probably maybe not so much the sodas, but it's the coffee. And I bet you that same thing is happening with the young people that it did. Can you expand on that a little bit and explain what is happening with that pH balance just a little bit more in detail, Dave?
Well, it really is a combination of the overconsumption of meat along with the consumption of acidifying foods. And you mentioned a couple that are almost an epidemic, you know, it's a pandemic. I mean, it's so widespread, the use of coffee as a stimulant on a regular basis, multiple cups a day. The use of soda pops, multiple soda pops a day. It's an old term, but, you know, Coca-Colas and soft drinks. The bottom line is that as a society, we create deadly acids in our body as a result of the foods that we consume. And our body typically would have alkaline chemical reactions that would deal with the over acid in our body. But when the over acidity in our body is so prevalent, when it's so pervasive, then our body's ability to balance it out with alkaline is overwhelmed. And this over acidity is really contributing to a number of conditions besides osteoporosis, disease type of conditions. Everything from dental decay in the mouth, which are caused by acids, from the arthritis that's caused by overacidity, gout caused by overacidity. But what we're talking about today that's caused by overacidity is osteoporosis. And the story that I think Amy is referring to is the story of our body producing an enzyme in order to dissolve calcium in our bones so that that calcium could be used in the battle to buffer.
Keep our blood.
Yes, to buffer and to stop the poisoning of our blood with uric acid. Now, if uric acid were not buffered by the calcium that is melted away from our bones by special enzymes that our body manufactures purposely. So why does our body manufacture these enzymes purposely and melt calcium purposely? So that that calcium could perform a beneficial function for the body. And the beneficial function that that calcium performs is to go into the blood and to seek out and match up with and neutralize the toxic acids. And it neutralizes them by intermingling with them and chemically binding with them. And once it does so, it hardens, and thus those acids cannot harm the body. Well, unfortunately, your body is rapidly producing an enzyme that is rapidly eroding your bones so that it could rapidly deal with a problem that is, I hate to use the word again, rapidly damaging your body. And so, you know, the bottom line is, that osteoporosis is a sign that your body is defending itself against a potentially much greater danger, that of lupus, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, not to mention simple things like gout and arthritis that could be quite painful. And so that having been said, if you can reverse the condition that led to your body creating osteoporosis, then you will not only avoid the dangers of the diseases that your body is trying to protect you against, you will also avoid the condition that is afflicting so many people, which is osteoporosis.
Awesome. Well, thanks for that. We haven't talked about that story in a long time, but the body, the human body, is just such an amazing thing. It knows that it has to keep the blood at a certain pH, and so it will do anything it has to do, including robbing your bones of precious calcium and minerals, basically to you alive. So it's kind of a trade-off kind of thing. But your body is definitely an amazing thing that knows what to do to survive, even if it means putting you in an osteoporotic state later in life. So we
exactly.
have to be very careful with what we input so your body doesn't have to do that. But I'm sorry for digressing on that, but let me jump into the signs and symptoms. Early symptoms, unfortunately, there's usually none. There might be backache, or if you're going to your doctor and you're having bone tests, there might the test may show the demineralization of the spine and pelvis. Late symptoms, loss of height, deformed spinal column. I think my grandmother, before she passed away, she had very severe osteoporosis in her spine, and she lost more than 6 inches. The same happened with my aunt. So it definitely happens. And you see older people hunched over with the big hump in their back. It's usually, or it can be caused by osteoporosis. Severe painful backaches are symptoms of osteoporosis, as well as we talked about earlier, fractures, especially within the hip and the wrist, occurring with only a minor injury. You know, you just bump it up against a doorway or something, and you can break a bone. And so that's
brittle bones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we talked all about, we set the stage of how important this is, what a major thing this is, how many people it affects. So let's talk a little bit, Dave, about treatment and prevention. We always usually, we try to give some dietary recommendations. We try to give some nutritional supplement regimens that can help. So let's jump in and let's talk about the diet, what we can do there.
Well, the first thing I think is, just before we get into diet, the number one thing that one could do to reverse osteoporosis is weight-bearing exercise. Weight-bearing exercise, particularly lifting weights above the shoulders and above the head. And the reason why is, as Amy noted earlier, osteoporosis starts in the ribs and the spine. And as such, in order to build the muscles around the arms and the shoulders and the back, that is what's going to prevent osteoporosis from developing. I like to give the example, Amy, that if you have a ship and it has really big sails, then the mast, which holds the sails, is going to have to be very, very strong.
Yes.
And if you have a ship that has very small sails, then the mast that holds those sails will not need to be nearly as strong, because the resistance will not be as much. Well, we're not talking about fat, because fat does not make bones thicker, but muscles do. And so if you build muscles in your back and in your arms and in your shoulders, you are going to automatically force your body to build stronger bones. But your body could only do that if you have taken certain dietary precautions. So Amy and I would like to share with you some of our favorite, or not favorite, but the most important dietary, perhaps, limitations and recommendations that you should pay attention to. So limiting your consumption of certain foods that promote calcium excretion. Those are things like salt and sugar, animal protein, carbonated beverages, alcohol, and coffee.
Absolutely. Also consuming a nutrient-dense diet, primarily vegetarian diet, that's rich in whole, unprocessed, preferably organic foods, especially plant foods and cold water fish.
Exactly. And as Amy noted, cold water fish, and she was probably about to tell you that should be line caught and not farm-raised, am I right?
Right, and then sometimes it's hard to find.
Well, in today's world, it's getting so much easier to find. I mean, even in Costco, I went into Costco, and, like, they had line-caught wild Alaskan salmon, like, at $4.50 a pound. I mean,
wow, that's great.
It was phenomenal, you know, and so my freezer is full of it now, and it's just frozen on the spot, and it's really nice to see that.
Awesome. Yeah. Also increase, and we mentioned this probably on every call that we talk about, increase the consumption of green leafy vegetables in your diet, such as kale, collards, parsley, green leafy lettuces, cabbage, and spinach. These are particularly rich sources of calcium, vitamin K, and of boron.
Exactly. Now, some other good sources of vitamin K include broccoli, asparagus, oat grass, whole grains, green peas, and even green tea, although to a lesser extent. So all things green, as we say, are going to be good for osteoporosis.
Exactly. And, of course, you want to increase the consumption of foods rich in calcium. And there are other options of foods. There are other choices, not just dairy, which is what most people think of immediately when you say calcium-rich foods. But good non-dairy sources of calcium include kelp, include bok choy, include spinach, include any kind of greens like collard, mustard, or turnip greens, nuts, and...
And seeds like sesame seeds, almonds, chestnuts, and walnuts are good.
Exactly, as well as beans like garbanzo beans, like soybeans, or even tofu.
Yeah, and again, I personally believe that you could avoid the soy and tofu. I'd like to see you use tempeh as opposed to tofu. So if you're going to use soy, I like it to be fermented. And I like it to be organic. So organic tempeh, there is a much better chance that it will be good for your body. And when you eat spinach, to eliminate its oxalic acid, you could basically take the spinach and just immerse it in boiling water for a split second, and that will make it much easier for your body to utilize the nutrients in the spinach. So that is just a little note. And, Amy, you should also increase your consumption of magnesium-rich foods. Perhaps that's even more important than increasing your consumption of calcium-rich foods, because magnesium is vitally important in helping your body build strong bones. Foods like kelp and wheat bran and wheat germ, almonds, cashews, blackstrap, molasses is a possibility. I'm not a big believer in brewer's yeast. Some people recommend that. I think that things like buckwheat, English almonds, rye, beet greens, spinach, and brown rice are excellent sources.
Awesome. And then also, if fruits and vegetables are grown in soils containing sufficient levels of boron, most will, and you know, you want to eat those fruits and vegetables, but since soil levels vary, supplementation may be advisable.
And what I recommend myself, Amy, is eating a lot of prunes and plums. Because
they're very high in boron.
Prunes and plums are very high in boron. In fact, our biofruit is made with a lot of dried plum.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons we did that is because we wanted to get people a lot of boron. So definitely, the exercise and the incredible, dramatic increase in raw vegetables and fruits, a lot of greens, and the reduction on the reliance of animal protein, reduction on the reliance of carbonated beverages, of stimulants like cigarettes and alcohol and tobacco and coffee. And that is going to be, I think, sort of a summation of the dietary practices we would like you to incorporate if you are concerned about osteoporosis.
Well, let's move on to our nutritional supplements that we recommend. And I want to just mention again, as Dave mentioned before, that Dave and I are certainly not doctors. We're not pretending to be doctors, and we're not giving medical advice. We're giving suggestions. We're giving common sense advice, basically, and so we certainly don't want this to be construed as medical advice. So let's talk about first. We mentioned magnesium.
I just want to say it couldn't be medical advice because we're not recommending any pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, absolutely. So I wanted to talk about magnesium. We've talked about magnesium so much that you need magnesium in order to prevent or treat osteoporosis, and magnesium to absorb your calcium. And so Ionic Elements, our liquid trace mineral product, is one of the best sources of magnesium.
And, you know, magnesium has been shown to mediate the secretion of hormones that maintain the proper calcium concentration in the blood. And so they help to balance that. And as you said, the women with osteoporosis have the lowest bone magnesium content and other indicators of magnesium deficiency. So what else, in addition to the Ionic Elements, might be helpful in flushing out toxic acids and also providing magnesium might be the organic Kamut blend.
Exactly, or the pure barley juice. So you want to use a green drink, which is the foundation of my nutritional supplement plan for sure. And I know we suggest that everyone consume a green drink, but if you're worried about osteoporosis, if you're in that group of people, premenopausal women on up, basically, you definitely should be incorporating a green drink multiple times a day into your diet. And we recommend for this, or we suggest, I should say, for this purpose, one of the simpler greens, like the organic Kamut blend or the pure barley juice extract.
Definitely. Now, our best of greens also has the sea kelp that we recommend. It has a lot of the cruciferous vegetables that we recommend, as well as the grasses that we recommend. So, keeping it simple, and the best of greens is probably the simplest green food blend that there is available, and that is going to help your body create alkaline chemical reactions. The alkaline chemical reactions are going to eliminate toxic uric and lactic acid from your body. And when you do that, your body will no longer create the enzyme complexes that literally digest your own bone, break it down for the purposes of using it to defend your body. If your body doesn't need defending, then your body will not break down your bone to use as its weapon. So green foods and Ionic Elements are going to alkalize and provide the magnesium necessary to help your body to fight and hopefully reverse this condition. But in addition to green foods, we always recommend, as we say, some basic organic raw whole foods, and green foods are the basis. But what else might we recommend?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the need for boron, and you mentioned the biofruit because it has a high amount of prune powder in it, and that we talked about boron was required for the activation of both estrogen and vitamin D, which are two, those lacking both of those things are two causative factors of osteoporosis.
Now, we talked about the need to build strong muscles, and we actually have a product that has been scientifically proven. There are 36 clinical studies, in fact, and this product is in the physician's desk reference. And I always joke around because this is a product that has been proven. If you're in a coma, this is the product that they can give to you. If you are literally in a bed and you're not able to get out of bed, what's called bedridden, you get something called muscle wasting that we described earlier. That's a very dangerous condition. And when that happens, doctors will recommend and prescribe a product that is in the physician's desk reference called the Master Amino Acid Program or Plan, and Pattern. and we sell it under the brand the Master Amino Acid Complex, but it's the exact same product. And, you know, if it could put muscle on you when you're in a coma, if it could help you digest protein if you're on a dialysis machine, if it could help you build muscle if you're bedridden, then with a little bit of that exercise we talked about, the Master Aminos are going to help you very quickly build the muscle mass you need to create the resistance that is required to, to force your body to build stronger bones. And so,
I also just wanted to mention that it doesn't take being bedridden to have muscle wasting. Like my grandmother and my aunt experienced this as well, and a lot of it has to do with losing your teeth. And then you kind of they lost their teeth, or they had dental problems, and they lost their appetite because they couldn't taste things properly and couldn't chew things properly. So they were basically malnourished. The muscle wasting happened, and then it's just a vicious cycle.
Wow. That is such a great point to make, because ultimately all malnutrition starts with people's inability to properly chew their food. And if you don't chew your food well, then you are not going to be able to digest and absorb the nutrients in that food. So, Amy, I'm really glad that you brought that to everyone's attention.
Cool, thanks. So the Master Amino is an awesome thing to incorporate into any plan or to have on a daily basis, but especially if you are worried about osteoporosis. And another product that we suggest is the Renew Hair, Skin, and Nails. And because it has minerals in it such as silica, it has bamboo extract, which is a very high source of naturally occurring silica, and the silica trace mineral also helps to build stronger bones.
It does. Now, Renew Hair, Skin, and Nails is a lot of people think of it obviously as building strong nails, as building strong hair, but the same exact things that it takes to build hair and nails, a couple of those things like minerals and, for example, you mentioned the silica and the collagen. Both of those things help to build muscles as well, and the hair, skin, and nails provides those from very natural sources. And so, obviously that is important. And finally, the last nutritional supplement that I would like to recommend is sort of going to sound funny, because it is super male formula. And super male formula is typically considered something that men would take to increase their sex drive, a bodybuilder would take in order to, build muscle mass or something along those lines. But in reality, super male formula gives the raw material for testosterone. And your body can use that to balance all types of hormones. And your body will use it to help create, for example, estrogen or one of the other hormones that it may be lacking. And so super male formula gives the raw material for testosterone, but also for other types of hormones. And that helps menopausal and the middle-aged and elderly women to balance their hormones. And it may be something that is really going to make a difference in your life.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to also talk about something that we don't necessarily here at Purium endorse, but we do believe in giving as much information as possible. And so we wanted to throw out the bioidentical hormone therapy. That's something that you can discuss with your doctor or your naturopath. It's basically natural progesterone that stimulates the cells that pull calcium, magnesium, and phosphorus from the blood to build bone mass. There's transdermal patches of natural progesterone that have been shown to help in the formation of new bone. And again, this is not something that Dave and I endorse. It's just information that you need to know to have a very thorough approach to your osteoporotic condition.
And remember that in bioidentical hormones, you do have a doctor's supervision. They do draw blood. They do measure the hormone balance in your body, and then they will recommend a corresponding dose that will change over time. I do not want to in any way have that be confused with there is a movie star who promotes bioidentical hormone therapy as a miracle anti-aging cure, which it absolutely is not. However, there is strong enough evidence to show it may help with osteoporosis, to where I will include it in this information, but only with the understanding that that it is not an anti-aging miracle or anything approaching that, and information to the contrary is misleading and potentially fraudulent, but it can potentially help with osteoporosis, and that is why we felt a responsibility to let you know that you perhaps could talk to your doctor about that. And Amy, perhaps you could take a moment and just summarize some of what we've shared with folks tonight, and and sort of wrap things up a little bit.
Sure. Well, I wanted to reiterate that one of the most important and easiest things that you can do is participate in regular, sensible weight-bearing exercise or exercise period, whether you're jogging, whether you're doing aerobics, whether you're doing a brisk walk, or weight training, which definitely is the best weight training. Even it can be a telephone book, raising a telephone book above your head 10 times and then build up to maybe you're doing that 5 times a day of 10 times. So the exercise is very, very important to keep the muscle mass on your body. Also, this is very important, and there's been so much like negativity surrounding spending time in the sun, but you really do need to spend time in the sun. So spend at least 20 minutes or spend 20 minutes daily in direct sunlight with your face or your hands exposed, and that's without sunscreen. You probably want to pick either early in the morning or later in the afternoon. You don't want to go out at high noon, obviously, and get a sunburn, but you do want to spend time in the sun, because sunlight is essential to the natural production of the vitamin D within the body. So that is very important. Also, we want to consume whole grains at different times than we consume calcium. Whole grains contain a substance that binds calcium and prevents its uptake. So if you do dairy, you really don't want to put dairy on your whole grain cereal in the morning, because you're not going to be uptaking any of the calcium from that dairy, or you're not going to be uptaking as much of the calcium from that dairy if you're eating it with a whole grain product.
And almond milk is a great recommendation as an alternative.
Absolutely, yeah. And almond milk tastes really good, too, and has a good consistency. And you really need to consult with your healthcare professional in order to determine, to get a feel of what your bone density is if you suspect there is a problem, and to determine whether calcium supplementation in conjunction with a diet rich in calcium is appropriate. Excess calcium is often deposited in soft tissues, possibly causing arthritis, glaucoma, kidney stones, and other problems. Arteriosclerosis.
Atherosclerosis.
Okay, I think it's spelled wrong on my paper here.
atherosclerosis. I'm sorry.
Right, and other problems. So sometimes taking calcium supplements may actually cause more problems within the body, and so we really want you to take a closer look at that and examine that with your doctor. In fact, some research has shown that taking calcium may play a much smaller role in creating strong bones than once thought.
Well, my favorite, and if I might interject.
Yeah, I want you to tell that story. That's what I was going to ask.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, one study showed 10,000 women who were questioned over 10 years about their dietary practices. It was like 20,000 women, of which 10,000 took calcium supplements, and the 10,000 women who took calcium supplements were more likely to get osteoporosis, were more likely to get arthritis, were more likely to get hardening of the arteries, were more likely to get kidney stones because of the excess calcium they were pouring into their bodies that their body could not use. And one doctor way back in 1962 published a study. His name was Dr. Kervran, and he was the head of the French Society of Biological Studies. And he wanted to find out how much calcium was in the chicken, and when the chicken ran out of calcium, whether it could lay eggs. And so it fed the chickens a diet devoid of calcium. It fed only foods that did not have calcium. And after many months of doing this, the chickens continued to lay eggs, and the doctor realized perhaps somehow the chickens were manufacturing calcium themselves out of the other minerals that they were obtaining from their diet. So he took silica out of their diet, and they could not lay eggs. When he put silica back in, they could. When he took magnesium out of their diet, they could not lay eggs. But when he put magnesium back in, they could. And when he took potassium out of their diet, they could not lay eggs. And when they put it back in, they could, even though they were not getting any calcium in their diet. So what he surmised is that living biological things would create biological transmutations whereby, through the exchange of atoms, they could convert minerals into substances that were perhaps not what they came into the body as. In other words, silica, magnesium, potassium came together through the exchange of atoms and became calcium. And this has been proven in several scientific experiments, which were quite profound. And so even though those studies came out and were published in 1962, we have still had a proliferation in the medical community of information stating that calcium is a result, or osteoporosis is a result of calcium deficiency, which is perhaps the truth, meaning the bones are deficient of calcium, not the body, but the bones. But unfortunately, their answer is to put more, more calcium into the body. And so, unfortunately, that's just false understanding of osteoporosis, and I hope that you don't mind me taking that moment to tell that story.
No, I actually was going to ask for you to tell it, so that was perfect timing. But that pretty much wraps up the information that we had prepared for tonight. I do want to remind everybody that if you'd like to share this with anyone, friends, family members, coworkers, whomever, you can tell them to call the replay line. This call will be available starting tomorrow. They can access it by dialing 212-461-8911, or they can log on to our website starting later in the day tomorrow, and at www.phporder.com, click on the education tab, click on conference calls, and view this along with all the other conference calls from the past year archived there permanently on the website. So please share this information because it's vitally important to our health, and we want to start these things that we talked about with our teenage girls. If you're 20, you should start doing these things. Don't wait till you're 50 or 60 or 70 to think about this, because this is very, very serious. And what you do to your body when you're 10 and 15 and 20 and 30 and 40 really, really affects what's going to happen to you when you're 65, 70, and 80.
Absolutely. So we believe that it is very difficult to look into the future and to take steps today that will prevent something in the future that we really, we can't see, we can't feel. We live in a credit-oriented society. We like to spend today and pay tomorrow. And unfortunately, physiologically and metabolically, we are going to have a lot of debt to pay for in the future if we don't take some steps to mitigate that today. So, Amy, a fantastic job tonight. I want to thank you for being with us again. I know everybody appreciates you being on the calls as much as I do. Do you remember what next week's subject is going to be?
Well, next week's subject is going to be kind of an overview of women's health issues, because it's Women's Health Awareness Month, the month of May. So we're going to be kind of overviewing the issues that we've talked about that relate to women's health.
So we're going to be talking about everything from fibroid cysts to breast cancer, osteoporosis, all things women and related to health next week. So
exactly.
We hope that you'll join us. Remember, fellas, nothing makes you a better husband, a better father, a better son than to be aware of the issues that affect the women that you care about and to become instrumental in helping them to overcome these challenges. In other words, this call is not just for the ladies. I expect to have a lot of you fellas on with us next week as well.
Awesome. Well, that pretty much uses up all of our time, Dave. If you would like to stay and answer a couple questions, I don't know if you have the time tonight as you're busy.
Yeah, I would be happy to stay on the line for just a moment. I would like everybody to give me a moment while we go after we, in other words, the moment that we take it out of moderator mode and not before. I would like everyone who does not have a question to hit *6 unless you have done so already, because in the past we've been unable to conduct our question and answer sessions because of the significant amount of background noise. We're going to try this, but in the event that we are unable to, I will be obviously disappointed, but at the same time, it is you know, necessary for everyone to cooperate, or we just simply cannot conduct this part of the call. So that having been said, Amy, thank you once again. And if you would like to take it out of moderator mode, it sounds like you did, then we could now take questions and answers. Does anybody have a call out there?
I'm going to say good night and thank you, and I will be back with you next week.
Thank you, Amy. Good night now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Are there any questions from the audience tonight?
David?
Yes?
What do you think of the pharmaceutical drugs like Boniva, Fosamax? I think the latest one is Reclast. Have you heard of it?
I have. In fact, when I was doing radio, I was documented the dangers of Fosamax. I was documented the dangers of these medicines. And you could see some of the class action suits that have already been placed on behalf of people who have used these products and have been exposed to additional dangers. So all I could tell you is, if you're taking any medication for osteoporosis, read the potential side effects. And I'm telling you, you ask your doctor, are you 100% sure that this is safe? And then look at his face. That's all I could tell you. You ask your doctor the tough questions and then just hope that he'll be honest with you, or she will be honest with you.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions tonight?
Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, fine. Thank you. What
Great.
The name of, what is it chlorella, the first herb that was on air?
Chlorella was, yes, chlorella is the food, you've heard me tell the story,
yes.
That actually originally helped create the atmosphere, that, you know, the oxygen and the ozone, and helped create a aerobic environment where the life forms that we now know today were able to progress. And so chlorella is truly was nature's first food,
yes.
And I believe we could all benefit from it.
Okay.
Dave?
Yes.
This is Flory. I just want
Hello,
to ask Flory. You, thank you so much for the incredible class. Always I learn incredible. It's just awesome. Why would be a cause of somebody having in the blood too much calcium and magnesium?
Well, the main reason someone might have too much calcium and magnesium in their blood could actually be because they are having the beginnings of osteoporosis. That is definitely a concern for me. It may also simply be that they are having malabsorption and need to consider, you know, having a colon cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be another reason.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much.
No problem. The hormone issue could also be causing the body, you know, to malabsorb. So are there any other questions? I have time for two more questions. Well, I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. I know that it was a little bit smaller audience tonight. The subject matter perhaps is not as interesting perhaps as some of the others that we've had. But I hope that by archiving this call, more people will be able to access the information when they need it. And I want to thank all of you for being with us tonight. And I hope that you'll join us next week and every Wednesday as we continue our consumer education series in an effort to empower you with the knowledge that you will need in order to overcome many of the challenges that we are sure to face in our lifetime. So that having been said, God bless you all and good night until next Wednesday. Thank you again.
God bless you.
Good night. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.